And Jesus said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen." Amen.
We're grateful this Epiphany tonight to hear the gospel lesson and to get a glimpse into the childhood of Jesus. There is a great silence that goes over his life after the infancy narratives until the time of his ministry. And we have a little picture here. That is the occasion of the Holy Family traveling to Jerusalem at the time of the Passover. Jesus is with them. And it's before his bar mitzvah, where he'd still be considered a boy. But he's becoming a man, so he's shown all the things that pertain to the temple and so forth. And then as the entourage leaves Jerusalem to go back to Nazareth, Mary and Joseph, at the end of that day of travel, look for Jesus, and they can't find him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Now we get a picture here that they didn't go to Jerusalem as just a nuclear family, and not just as extended family. They went really as a caravan of people from the whole area, multitude going down together. And so it's easy to understand how it would be easy to lose someone in that mix. Usually the women and children would go out before traveling, and then the boys would come after. And so perhaps Mary thought that Jesus was with Joseph. You know, he's with the men and boys today. And then perhaps Joseph thought, well, I don't see Jesus. He's probably with Mary, with the women and children. Jesus is in that cusp of, you know, childhood to manhood, boyhood to manhood. So it's that awkward seventh grade, you know, kind of time. And which he had to suffer just like we, you know, he suffered that too. So anyway, they have lost the child Jesus. And you can imagine that kind of anxiety. And it's not the kind of anxiety that we might have experienced when I was a kid, you know, maybe leading somebody in Winslow and figure out by the time you're in Flagstaff, you're still back in Trading Post, maybe in Comic Post or Arrowhead or something. And then, you know, getting them back in a car with the other kids and the families, you know, on the trip. Well, the kind of anxiety that, you know, a person might have today, at least in their kid in the store, you know, 3 minutes go by, but they find a helicopter in and find him, and that's all well. Mary and Joseph, they look for 3 days, and then they find the Lord Jesus in the temple. And it's a happy reunion, but it is also, as that hard conversation with Mary, saying to Jesus, you know, did you know we were looking and for you sorrowing? And Jesus then says, well, when did you know that I must be about my Father's business? Now this is instructive to us in our own walk of faith, because we see that Mary and Joseph patiently seek for the Lord, and then they find him. And it echoes what we have as the first gospel lesson in Epiphany, which is the coming of the wise men, where they also seek after Christ, and they are diligent in their seeking. And in both instances, we see that it's a while before they find Jesus. The wise men do not have an easy time coming. They leave those things that are known to them to be their kinfolk and their place, and they go traveling to find Jesus, following the star in the sky. And then they come to the courts of Herod. And there they are expecting to find the one who was born king of the Jews would be in the temple or in the royal palace, right? Well, no, because Herod is a pretender king. And the real king of the Jews is going to be a subject of his wrath or a wrathful attempt. So in that place, they go into the dangerous place of the court of Herod. But they hear the truth from the prophet Micah that the king must be born in Bethlehem. So they press on to Bethlehem, and they find Jesus in the arms of his mother. So following the light and the star, the light in the scriptures, they come to find the light of the world in Bethlehem, and they fall down and worship. Mary and Joseph are seeking through their anxiety, through their painful days, and one might ask, why did they go straight to the temple? Well, they were coming to know something about Jesus. So they didn't know everything about him, obviously. But they would have gone straight to the temple, knowing that's where he would be. They must have looked a lot of other places before they finally got into the temple on that third day. So that's instructive to us, because in our own pilgrimage, we are also to seek and then find. Jesus says to us, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. So we too are set about seeking for Christ, and it may be not an easy thing to find him. We may have to go through dark nights where the only thing we have is the dim light of faith to follow to find Christ. And maybe then we come into dangerous places, and there is pretenders around. And yet, even so, we find enough information that we can keep following to find Christ. It may be that we are seeking him in times that are full of anxiety and trouble. And yet, we seek and we find. And so whatever this year may hold, this new year, now that we need 2022, be it, a dangerous year, a good year, be it a year with troubles and with anxieties, still, we can press on with diligent seeking and find Christ. We have these examples in Scripture to encourage us in our own pilgrimage. We also see that the Mary, when she challenges Christ and says, "Didn't you know that we were looking for you sorrowing?" We were sorrowful. She expresses her kind of surprise and sadness. And Jesus then gives her what sounds like a rebuff. "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" But with that, we see that Mary takes that word, she and Joseph, she takes that word, they hear that, but we hear that Mary takes that word and she ponders it in her heart. And so she takes these revelations that are being given of who is Jesus, and she begins to inwardly digest them. They become part of her treasury of who is this? Who is this Jesus? And so it can be for us. We too are to take whatever God has given to us of another understanding of who is Jesus. And we are to take that into our hearts and treasure that and assimilate that into our own life. Now we can look forward to this coming year that there will be new revelations of who is God in Jesus Christ. We will have new revelations given, new information. We will need a deeper understanding of who Jesus is as we open ourselves to that, as we don't reject the word, but instead take it into our hearts and ponder it. His mercies are new every morning. God's mercies are new every morning. And there is something new to discover about Christ, even every day, until at last we see him in the fullness of the debate. And so let us go forward into this coming time with expectation that God will show us more of himself, draw us deeper into communion with him, and into a fuller understanding of who he is. We don't know it all. We are to come to a knowledge of who he is, and God will show us the way and show us more of himself. And we see that in the example. Whatever we are given in this coming year, let us take that and treasure it, ponder it in our hearts. We also see something with the Lord Jesus, that he has gone to the temple, and he is sitting with the elders. They marvel at his wisdom. He is asking them questions. They're also surprised at his answers, but he is asking questions. That may seem surprising to us. Why would Jesus, who is God incarnate, be asking questions of the doctors of the law and the elders of the temple? Well, because as touching his human nature, he is ignorant. Just like we are ignorant. Jesus shares our full human nature, body, soul, and spirit. And as a human being, he has to come up to speed with these things. He has to learn. He has to grow. But notice that he is wise in that he is willing to learn. This is a mark of those who are wise. They are inquisitive, and they are willing to hear from others. And I know you've seen people like that, even late in life, where they are asking for information, where they're seeing what other people think, where they're they're not They're not unwise, like the one who knows it all and can't be told anything. No, wise people are willing to learn new things, and they have wise counselors that are instructing them. They are humble, like Christ is humble in this place. We can remark that Jesus is humbling himself to ask questions. That's where we need to be as well. We need to follow his humility. And following his humility, we will also be lifted up. Remember the pattern of the one who humbles himself will be exalted. We saw that in the time of Christmas. Jesus was, as the Son of God, entered into our human history, humbled himself and became a man. And at the lowly time of his birth, or the time of his lowly birth, God exalted him by sending the angels who sang out the glory in excelsis Deo. You see the humbling followed by God exalting. In the same way here, we have the Lord Jesus who is humbling himself to ask for information, but exalted because the elders that gather around, think about it, those who have been persisting in the study of the law for 5 decades more than he is old, and yet he has something to show them. They marvel at his wisdom. We see him lifted up. And through his life, he is self-oblation, self-humbling, followed by God's lifting him up in exaltation. And may it be with us in this coming year, too, that we will be humble in our approach, that we will enter into a place where we're not lifting ourselves up, but waiting for God to lift us up and follow the pattern of Christ. So as we come into this season of Epiphany, let us hear the examples that come to us of holy lives, of holy family, and see their encouragement for us to persist in our seeking that we may find, to persist in our waiting upon God to reveal himself and treasuring up what we have come to know in our hearts, and humbly asking that we may receive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.